This is our oldest daughter, Deanna, and our two grandchildren, Aaron and Brielle. How many of you have grandkids? Yeah, are yours as good looking as mine? Next slide. This is our daughter, Caitlin, and her husband, Ryan. They're kids pastors in a large church in North Carolina. Next slide. These are our next two grandkids. Come on, now, you got to say, aw. I love these guys. Okay, next slide. This is my son, Garrett. He just got married to Angie. Next slide. Our son, Evan. Our daughter, Kirsten, on the right. In the middle, Elise. She's the little caboose. And then, next slide. This is the most beautiful woman on the planet. Your pastor, Doug, is delusional. He thinks his wife is. How many of you men think your wife is amazing? If you're not brain dead right now, guys, just put your vote. Yeah, just, yeah. Well, I see women putting their husbands' hands up. Okay, so, all right, that's our family. It's 11:30. I'm supposed to be done at 11:45. You think I can preach in 15 minutes? I doubt it. I'm going to try. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, to hear your word. I pray that your word would change us on the inside. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got a bunch of stuff on my table. I'm not going to tell you about it. It's on the right-hand side as you go out. But there's good stuff there. Only thing I'm going to mention is my book. I've written a book. It's called Journey to Freedom. It's a great book. It's only 100 pages long so that men can read it. Everything on the table is $15, and three of them for $35. We take Visa, MasterCard, check, and cash. All right, so how do I look today? Do I look all right? I love being a guy. How many single girls are here today? Just put your hands up. Yeah, nice and high. There's single guys looking. I just want you single girls to look at me real quick. You know the guy you like? He's really, really handsome, good-looking, strong. He's so hot. In 30 years, this is what it'll look like. I don't think it's funny. But I like being a guy. You get up in the morning, you go like this, your hair is done. Makeup, you're done. Out the door, 2 minutes, right? Isn't that great? Being a woman is a horrible thing. You get up, I've heard of women, they get up, they look in the mirror, they scream, then they begin. Foundation, mortar, cement, and you end up with what you have today. And ladies, you've done a wonderful job. I have no idea what you started with. So when you look at me, do I look okay? And you guys look, you guys look great. But when you look on the outside of me, everything seems fine. But when you look at the inside of me, you say, man, this guy's got some issues. And you couldn't tell that I had this on when you were looking at me, could you? And, if I could come down into your pew and I could just pull your skin off and look at your spirit, man, I wonder how many of you got jewelry on like this. This is a Mr. T starter set. How many of you have no idea who Mr. T is? Just put your hands up. Okay, go to Wikipedia and look it up. This chain is symbolic of the addiction that I struggled with. When I was 9 years old, I was being babysat, and I was abused. One time, but it messed me up. You can ask my friends, I'm messed up. Not as much as I used to be. But it caused me to believe lies about myself. And I began to struggle with addiction. I remember when I was about 11, I read this book called The Pilgrim's Progress. Anyone of you read it? I found out that everyone who does something wrong, they kind of carry it like a backpack, and you carry all the weight of that on your back. It's called sin. How many of you have ever worn like a backpack in your spirit that you kind of knew all the stuff you did wrong was kind of heavy? I was carrying a heavy one. And I remember when I was 16 years old, a guy said, if you want to get rid of your sin, you need to turn away from the way you're going and turn around and go a different way. The Christian word is repenting. I remember doing that at 16 years of age. I turned around and I began to follow Jesus. And I put my faith and trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ did on the cross. And I felt my backpack of sin fall off. Oh, what a happy day that was. And for about 2 years, I did great. And then when I was about 18, I started struggling with addiction again. And I'm like, oh man, if I just get married, all my troubles will be over. And all the married men said, that was not exactly a thunderous amen. And you know what? I got married at 21. I married my wonderful wife, and she was wonderful to me in every way, but she couldn't fix what was broken in my brain. And I tried all kinds of things to get free. I tried fasting and praying and memorizing scripture and all this different stuff, and nothing seemed to work. Till one day I read a story that helped me understand where freedom comes from. Can I tell you the story? Years ago in the United States, every black person was a slave simply because of their color. How many of you are familiar with American history? A new president came on the scene and he said, all the slaves are to go free in 1860. This was called the Emancipation Proclamation. By signing a piece of paper, he changed the legal standing of everyone in America who was black. Well, one slave went to his master and he said, am I now free? His master said, doesn't apply to you. You keep working. And so rather than believing the truth, he believed a lie. And he stayed on the plantation 4 more years. Till one day he looked around, he saw all the other slaves are gone, and he recognized, my old master is a liar. And with that revelation or understanding, he walked away from the plantation. 4 years. Too late. When I heard that, I was like, why did you not just act on the truth as soon as you heard it? And then it was like God said to me, why didn't you believe me when I said that you were free? See, Christ is our emancipator, but we don't believe him. I thought, man, if this is in the Bible, I have not read this before. And it took me to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 19. Can we stand up and read the word of God together? Well, then, should we keep sinning so God can keep showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Should we keep sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became Christians and were baptized to become a part of Jesus Christ. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by baptism when he died. And when God the Father, with glorious power, brought him back to life again, you were given his wonderful new life to enjoy. Let's read verse 5 together. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak, when he died. And now you share his new life and shall rise as he did. And now I want all of you to put your hands up like this. All right, now give me all your money. No, I'm kidding. Okay, this is you, so shake one of your hands. This is God. Shake your other hand. Now I want you to put your hands in each other, okay? Now move them back and forth. So whatever God did or whatever Jesus did, you did. So what did Jesus do? He died to sin. So what did you do? Died to sin. Okay, let's go. Verse 6. Your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of your body that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded. So your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. Okay. This chain is my addiction, right? I'm a slave to my addiction. When I get to know Jesus Christ, he takes the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He puts them in the lock that chains me to sin. The moment I believe I am free legally. All right? Can you see this lock, people? I don't know if you can all see it way up there. It's pretty small, but this is free. I'm free. So now look at me. How many of you say Lloyd is now free? Put up your hands. How many of you say, Lloyd still looks bound to me? Put your hands up. How many people say, I'm not voting no matter what you do? Put your hands up. That same group. All right. Now, is the chain unlocked? Am I legally free? Spiritually legally free, but not experiencing freedom. See, I believe this is where most Christians live. They kind of know, you know, the Bible says I'm supposed to be free, but I'm not experiencing freedom. How many of you can relate to that? Okay. You want to know how to get the chain off? Buy my book. Let's pray. I'm done. Okay, so let's continue. When you're dead to sin, you're freed from all its allure and power over you. Skip to verse 11. read it with me. So look upon your old sin nature as dead and unresponsive to sin, and instead be alive to God, alert to him through Jesus Christ our Lord. King James says, reckon yourself to be free. Think of yourself as free. Okay, you got to think of yourself the way God says you need to think of yourself. My wife sang a song, right? It says, I am what he says I am. Basically those words, right? If God says something about you, it's true. You can be seated. Skip to point number one, F. Just keep going. Okay, my message has 4 points. If you're going to take notes, write down the word free. F-R-E-E. Okay, 4 points. This way you know when the sermon's almost done, because when I'm on the last E, I'll be there, all right? So F. F is faith. I had to have faith. Now, these notes are worth about $100,000. Now, I know this is probably the most expensive sermon you've ever heard. But I know a guy who's going through divorce. In fact, it's just about done. His divorce cost him $600,000. Now, if you have some assets and you go through divorce, it usually costs about $100,000 if you got something. So why not take the notes and save yourself the money? You can just give me like $1,000 for it. I don't mind. I work cheap. So faith. I had to have faith in what God said. I had to believe what God said. So John 8, verse 32 says, read it with me, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All right? How many of you know somebody who knows truth but is not free? Okay, excuse me. You can vote here, okay? It's not conservative. It's not New Democrat. It's not green. It's not liberal. Just vote. How many of you know somebody who knows truth but's not free? Wow, we're up to almost 60%. We might be able to do something with that. Okay, how is that possible? How can you know truth and not be free? Next slide. There's two words for knowing in the Greek. There's gnosis and there's epinosis. Gnosis, intellectual knowledge, I have of childbirth, right? My wife and I have 6 kids. I have a gnosis of childbirth. We go to the hospital. My wife makes a bunch of racket, and we have a child. There's really nothing to it. I've done it 6 times. It doesn't even hurt. All right? How many of you men have children? Does it hurt? Like a pinch. What's the big deal? Please, ladies, don't throw anything, okay? I'm just making a point here. How many of you women have children? Does it hurt? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've even heard it. Yes. I mean, that's pretty loud. See, I know, but you know, right? You know in a completely different way. Now, if you wanted to know childbirth, would it be better to ask a man or a woman? Why? Don't they both know? They know different, don't they? Okay. I want you to think about the thing that you struggle with in your life. You may not be an addict. You may not be sticking a needle in your arm. You may not even be an alcoholic. But you may have something in your life where you've said, oh, I wish to God I could stop. Whatever it is. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's hating someone. Maybe it's being prejudiced, right? Why don't you just close your eyes for a second, and I want you to think about that. I wish to God I could stop. You got it? All right. I want you to take that idea, okay, and then just imagine you failed at that even last night. You lost your temper again. You swore up and down, I will not lose my temper again, and bang, you lost it. All right, you can open your eyes. You're so frustrated with yourself because you're like, I failed. I didn't want to do that again, and now I've failed. And when you're getting ready to come to this place here today, you hear this whisper in your ear, and the whisper says, you're such a failure. You're such a hypocrite. You're still my slave. Who do you think that is? I don't think it's Jesus. It's the enemy, and he's lying to you. He's telling you, you are not free. Well, you're saying, well, I didn't act free. Well, you're not how you act. What did he just say? I said, you are not how you act. You are not what you do. Now, you're looking at me and going, Pastor Doug, where did you get this guy? He is out of his mind. Am I not what I do? Right? Well, let me ask you this question. Let's go back to the plantation just for a second. The slave, was he eating slave food? Was he drinking slave water? Was he whipped by the master? Was he living in a slave house? 4 years he was on that plantation. Everything about him looked like a slave. Was he legally required to be there? No! And you, quite possibly, could be a free man or a free woman and living on sin's plantation when you have no legal obligation to be there. Is that possible? So I'm going to be the devil for a moment. I'm going to lie to you. You tell me the truth. Okay? The lie is, you're still my slave. What is the truth? I am free. Say that out loud. I am free. Nice and loud. I am free. Nice and loud. I am free. Okay, here goes. You're still my slave.
I am free.
It works so much better if you move your lips. All right, let's try it again. You're still my slave.
I am free.
You know, sometimes with tears running down my face, I was talking to myself in the mirror because I felt like such a failure. And I'd failed again, but I knew that's not who I was. And that's where freedom began to come, because I had to begin to believe different. And in order to believe different, you got to talk different and you got to think different. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's how he is. And so I started getting free about 30% of the time, but I still failed a lot. And then I remember one day I was watching TV. I saw this world famous preacher had a moral failure. They found him with a prostitute. I was so discouraged. I went to my wife. I said, I'm done ministry. I give up. If he can't live a holy life, nobody can. And my wife said to me, why don't you tell my parents that you're struggling? How many of you are not married? Let me explain something to you real quick. When you get married, the person you married, their parents, they become what is called your in-laws. They hate you. They try not to, but you're taking their perfect child and you are corrupting them with the way that your family thinks, which is not the way that their family thinks, which is the right way to think. And so they hate you. I said, honey, I would rather eat crushed glass than tell my faults to your parents. And I continued to struggle till one day in Calgary, Alberta, after failing again in my mind, in my heart, I went to them and I said, would you pray for me that God would give me a pure heart? And this chain began to come off of me and I began to be so free that I began to literally dance in church. Now look at me. I'm white. I'm Dutch. And it is not pretty. People look at me and go, man, you look like an idiot when you dance. And I said, I'm not dancing for you. I'm dancing for him because he made me free. Hallelujah. For 6 months, I walked so free. Then one day I got into an argument with my mother-in-law. I told her exactly what I thought of her, which I don't recommend you do. And I felt bound again. And I'm declaring, I'm a free man, I'm a free man, I'm a free man. It did not work. I went and apologized. And I said, okay, God, what is going on here? I do things in the natural, and everything changes in the spiritual. What's going on? And God showed me two things. When you're taking notes, here's my second point. I'm getting close to the end. Number one, or number two, I had to have radical humility. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Okay, that's a radical idea. So now, how many of you have ever sinned? Half of your congregation lies, Pastor. I've not seen that much lying going on in church. How many of you have ever sinned? Okay. We got almost 90% voting now. This is pretty good. Okay, what do you do when you sin? You go to God and you say, I'm sorry. And what does God do? He forgives you and you continue on, right? How many of you have done that before? Okay, we've done that, right? Now, this verse here says, confess your sins to each other. Now, you know what I like about Jesus? When you tell him something, he keeps his mouth shut. But you tell people, And what do people do?
Bop, 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 bop.
Oh, not in this church, but I mean other churches. Right? Okay. So this verse here says, confess your sins to
each other.
Are you out of your mind? Is that what that thing said? And pray for each other. I got that part. So that you may be, what's that word there? Ooh. How many Christians get forgiven and how many Christians get healed? You see, I believe this is talking about just more than physical healing. I think this is talking about emotional healing. How many of you have ever had someone say something really, really mean to you? Oh, yeah. I've been married for a while. I mean, no, I'm kidding. My wife is so sweet. In fact, Pastor Doug, it's so funny. When my wife's really, really upset, you know what she'll say? I'm not sure I like that. I mean, that's it. I'm like, can't you get mad? And she's like, I'm not sure I like that. She's great. I, on the other hand, am not quite that nice. I know I've got to talk about my stuff. You know, in a couple of weeks, you're going to be starting something in your church. It's called Freedom Session. How many of you are aware of that? Okay, this is on your welcome table. It's on our table. If you struggle anywhere in your life, oh, no, 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 I don't struggle. You lie. Every one of us struggles somewhere. Nobody gets a free. Oh, yeah, yep. Oh, Pastor Doug, we'll just leave him alone. I'm sure the devil and his minions, oh, those three guys, we'll just leave them be. We'll just go for all. Are you kidding me? The more you try to do for God, the more the devil's going, I am going to get you and take you down. That's what he's going to say. Any one of you, be ready. Grab this freedom thing. And I encourage, I'd love to see half your church there. I'd just love to see you so overwhelmed that you'd have to go call some help, because we need to get free. So here, what happens when you humble yourself radically? Next slide. God gives you extravagant grace. This is your next point. Extravagant grace. God gives grace to the humble. Everybody say, I love to humble myself. No, I ain't saying that. I hate humbling myself, right? What happens when you humble yourself? Next slide. This is me without my makeup on. God's trying to pour his grace into my life, which is symbolized by the water. The more he pours his grace out, it doesn't get in. Why can't grace get into my life? What's in the way? Pride stops the grace of God. God's grace is amazing, but it can't get past our pride. Next slide. One day I went to my in-laws and I said, would you guys pray for me that God will give me a pure heart? What did that take? Humility. If you humble yourself, you get rid of your stinking pride. Throw it away. What happens? The grace of God can get into your life. It can fill up your life. It can overflow your life, and you can become literally immersed in the grace of God. How many of you say, sign me up for that? Amen. If you want lots of grace, people, you gotta get on your face. You gotta get low. I mean, I can tell my faults to people who don't know me a little bit, but telling my in-laws my faults, I tell you, that was probably the most humble thing I ever did. But you know what? I was blown away by the grace of God. Now, people, I don't want to give you the false impression that the moment that happened, I never failed again, because that's not truth. But I began to get so much freer as I began to humble myself. And I humbled myself to my father-in-law. Every week we'd have a Promise Keepers meeting, and I would make myself accountable to him. Because most of us don't do what's expected, we do what's inspected, right? Mom says, clean your room. You know she never checks it. Then she says, and Dad's going to check it. Oh, how many of you clean your room a little bit better? Yeah, oh yeah, because the dads are coming, right? So I found I've got to walk in humility all the time. How many of you have sometimes not been quite as humble as you needed to be when you were driving down the road? Someone cut you off in traffic. They had no idea how important you were. And what do you want done to that person who did that to you? How about life in prison? Right? Yeah. How many of you, you know, been cut off pretty bad. Yeah. How many of you ever cut someone else off? When you cut them off and their horn goes and one of their fingers goes up, I'm not sure which one it is. And you, what do you want from them? Grace. You want grace. So law to them and grace to me. That's called inconsistency. And I'm very good at it. In fact, I'm an expert. How many of you are pretty good at it? A lot of lying people in this room. I've got to walk in humility. I've got to walk in humility with my children, with my wife, all the time. Every one of us, all the time. One older gentleman said to me, I've been trying to do this humility thing. He said, but my wife and I had words last week and I didn't get to use mine. So I'm about really quite a bit free, about 90% free, but I still fail. And I say, okay, God, I don't want to continue to fail. What do I need to do? And the Lord shows me this is what's causing you to fail. Next slide. Can you guys understand this picture? How many of you have ever seen garbage on your TV? The rest of you haven't? Do you guys got perfect cable here or something? How many of you have seen garbage on TV? Oh, my goodness. How many of you have seen garbage on your phone? Or garbage on your computer? Okay. The Bible says, next slide, it's better for you to enter heaven without cable, satellite, internet, or various magazine subscriptions than to go to hell with them. Some of you are going, does it say that? Actually, it says in Mark chapter 9, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye or your foot offends you, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. So, Pastor Doug, I'm looking at your church. These people are not very scriptural. Because they should all look like Captain Hook. God is asking us to do something. Next slide. This is our last point. We need to extract the poison from our lives. So if you're taking notes, Philippians 2 verse 12 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If I've got something that's causing me to fail, I got to get rid of it. Now, I like my TV, but I knew it was causing me to fail. So years ago, I got rid of it. Now, I'm not saying all of you have to get rid of your TV. Maybe you're smarter than me. I think you are. But the Holy Spirit will probably tell you there's something you need to get rid of in your life. And when he tells you that, he doesn't come into your house and say, Carson, I want your TV. Knock down the door, grab your TV, and pull it out of the house. No, he whispers and he says, this is what you need to do. And it's up to you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't come and rip you off of stuff that you need to get rid of. He says, this is what you need to do. And leaves it to you. And after a while, if you shut him off long enough, he won't talk to you anymore. And some of you are at that place. And that's a dangerous place. Yeah, I really, really didn't want to get rid of my TV. You can ask my wife. I loved TV, but I knew that I needed to be free. Some people said, what about your kids? They need to have the Disney Channel, the Learning Channel, the Discovery Channel. I said, my kids need a dad who is free. Amen. Amen? Yeah. If you got something in your house that's making you bound, get rid of it.
Yes.
Amen? Next slide. Next slide. Are you bound today? Let's read these words together. Pride. Lust, gossip, gambling, hatred, envy, bitterness, idols, overspending, overeating, drugs, alcohol, lying, pornography, fear, anger, work, entertainment, anxiety, depression, video games, only God, and you know for sure. When you look at those words, how many of you would say, oh man, I could put my name under one of those words? Some of you are going, hallelujah, my word's not up there, I'm good. I can't put every word in the book up there. But if your word was up there, could you say, that's me? Okay. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. The beginning of my talk, I talked about how I was had a load of junk on my back. But then I turned around and I began to go a different way. How many of you say, Lloyd, I'm headed the wrong direction in life. I need to turn around and go a different way. Just lift up your hand all over this room. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. All right. If you know you're going the wrong direction in life, Pastor Doug, if you can get some decision cards and things like that ready, I want you to pray with me. God, your word says, if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So God, right now I confess I've sinned against you. I'm guilty. I ask your forgiveness. John 1 verse 12 says, whoever receives him, to them he gives power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. So right now I invite you, Jesus, by your spirit to come into my life, to be the boss of my life. I don't want to run the show. I want you to run the show. And then help me to know that I'm your child. And then Romans 10 says, with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, but with a mouth, confession is made. So help me, God, to tell somebody that I've committed or recommitted to following Christ. Now, you might say, Lloyd, I'm a Christian, but there's an area of my life that I'm bound. Would you pray for me that God would make me free? How many people in this room would be honest enough to say, I'm bound somewhere in my life. Would you pray for me that God would make me free? Put your hands up all over this room. There's 10, there's 20, there's 30, there's 40, there's 50, there's 60, there's 70. All right. You put your hands down. Some of you are going, I can't lift my hand up, man. It weighs about 100 pounds. You know what? There's a lie sitting on your hand. You need to shake it off and say, okay, Lord, I will be free. How many more people would say, I didn't raise my hand, but I'm going to shake this lie off, and I'm going to say, Lloyd, pray for me as well. I want to be free. How many more? Go ahead, just put up your hands. Okay, there's another couple. Okay, can you all stand up? Can you all stand? I need to be done, and I apologize. I went a little bit long. But anyone who raised your hand for any reason, I want you to come up to the front real quick. I'm going to pray for you. Okay, just come. Just run if you have to. If you're in the balcony, please come down real quick. I know you're like, I'm not going down there. Just come real quick. Come up to the front. Put your toes right against the front bottom step. Stand shoulder to shoulder like you love each other. Fake it till you make it, people. All right? Just get up close. Single line all the way across. Just a single line all the way across. Just go right to the all the way up there. Just keep going. Keep going. Okay. For those of you in the front row, can you guys just move to the second row? I want the people in the second row here to stand with your legs against the pew. Okay? Just do that. Just put your legs. Those of you, just put, yeah, stand back. That's right. Okay. The reason for this is, all right, here's what I want you to do. I don't have time to do what I all need to do. Praise God for each of you. How many of you came forward today for salvation? I've got about 10 tracks here. What I'm going to do is, if you came forward, okay, listen to me, look at me, people. If you came forward today, you said, I don't really know Jesus. I need to get to know him, okay? That's what these ones are for. Otherwise, just give them away because I don't have enough to go around. Pastor Doug has some more here, and he'll make sure that they're available in the middle at the front later. But just take one of these and pass it down so that the people who want a salvation track can get that. Those of you who said, I'm saved, but I want to be free, just grab one of these. Yeah, you give me some more of these, and it's fine. Just pass them around. If you need a salvation track, just take one of those. Yep, just pass whatever ones you have out as well. All right. Now, people, I just want to teach you one last thing and we're done, okay? I want all of you to look at me who came forward. And I want you to hold the reason that you came forward in your hand, all right? So I'm just going to say that you all struggle with a chocolate chip cookie addiction, all right? I'm pretty sure that's not what it is, but I want you to hold your chocolate chip cookies up in your hand. So you might say, well, mine is anger, or mine's bitterness, or mine's whatever, okay? I'm not worried about that. I just want you to symbolically hold the reason that you came forward in your hand and hold it up to God. And I want you to say this, God, I repent for this. I'm sorry. Now, I want you to take your chocolate chip cookies, people, look at me, and I want you to throw them on the ground and say, I renounce this. All right? So you got a bunch of broken chocolate chip cookies on the ground now, right? No, it wasn't chocolate chip cookies, but you know what you're talking about, right? Okay, now I want you to think about what's going to happen If you threw down chocolate chip cookies right now, what's going to happen by 3 o'clock this afternoon? Grandma is coming over with some freshly baked chocolate chip cookies. And what are you going to say to Grandma? Get thee be— don't say that to your grandma. But, you know, the enemy's going to wrap up the temptation to give it to you. Do it just one more time. Just one more time. You can just be bitter one more time. You can just be hateful one more time. You can just do that thing one more time. You know what you got to say? Satan, say it with me. Satan, I've repented. I've renounced. I now have authority to rebuke you in Jesus' name. And so, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. All right? Do you understand how that works? That's called spiritual warfare, man. He is coming to take you down, and you've got to be ready because he's going to try. Okay. You threw down chocolate chip cookies, right? What did you going to pick up? What are you going to pick up instead? Broccoli, celery, carrots, vegetables, all that stuff that doesn't taste that great, right? I'd much rather have peanut butter cups, right? How many of you love Reese's peanut butter cups? I'm pretty sure they're going to be in heaven. Okay, so you throw down something bad, right? That's not good for you, that's making you sick. Now I want you to think about, okay, what would make me healthy spiritually, right? You threw down bitterness, you threw down hatred, you threw down pornography, you threw down gambling, you threw down whatever, right? What are you going to pick up instead? I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to symbolically reach down, and I want you to pick up that new thing. Pick up the Word of God. Pick up. All right? So go ahead and do that. Symbolically. Just everybody reach down. Okay, now say this. God, help me to remember my broccoli. Right? I know it's not broccoli, but you know what you picked up, right? You picked up the Word of God. You picked up things that are going to make you healthy. I suggest that you take Pastor Doug's sermon and you download it to your phone and listen to it again. It takes him hours to make a message. He has to try to produce it in like 30 minutes. And it's hard to do that. If you listen to it again, it's like you'll get more out of it, all right? Put good stuff in your soul. It will make you healthy. If you walk around with the fools on YouTube all week, you're going to end up being pretty stupid, which we are becoming. Okay, last thing is, God, help me to remember. Help me to rejoice in what you've done. Amen? I apologize. I'm not going to have time to be able to pray for all of you because I just don't. What I'd like you to do, I'm going to pray over you corporately, and then I'm going to ask you, can you, how many of you, look at me, look at me. How many of you would say, this is not the end of this. I'm going to go farther, maybe to Freedom Session, maybe to someone else, and I'm going to talk to them about this so that I can confess my faults to someone else so that I might maybe begin to get healed inside. How many of you would say, I'm willing to do that? Okay. Look around you, people. All right? All those people with their hands up, they need someone to talk to. You need someone to talk to. I encourage you to talk to somebody and tell them, I'm struggling with this or that. In-laws may be great. May not be. I don't know. Your wife may be great. Your husband may be great. I don't know. Use wisdom and pray together. Let me pray. And then after I pray, Pastor Doug's going to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak life and hope and freedom. In Jesus' name, Lord, let every one of these people be touched by the power of your Spirit. God, minister to their hearts, minister to their minds, minister to their spirits, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive them where they've gone wrong. Help them, Lord, not to walk in darkness, not to walk in bitterness, not to lie to themselves anymore, but to believe the truth in Jesus' name. Lord, bless them. Pour out your Spirit on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Doug.
Lord, amen. Just before we move from here for a moment, I want you to listen to this scripture. Hey, Lord, can I ask you one question? Are you perfect? Thank you. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, the Apostle Paul is saying. But listen now, what God is doing in your heart is a work of God. It's a great work. God's spoken to you. Now, There was a time when the apostles came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And he began to teach them. I think you know the prayer. Can we say it? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and forever. Amen. But then he said this, right after that prayer, to teach them more about prayer. He said this, forgive those who sin against you. Because if you don't forgive those who sin against you, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Now tonight, Lloyd's going to be ministering on forgiveness. I believe that every one of you that are standing here at the altar who don't have a job are going to be here tonight. I just believe you're going to be here. You might say, well, I don't normally come. Well, you want to come tonight because you're doing something extra. I want to invite you, if you're here in the house and you just resonate, yes, Jesus, I want to know about forgiving people. I want to know about your grace growing in my life. I want to know more of your freedom, Lord.